We all have opinions. Welcome to Speaking Truth to Power, a podcast where we, the people, get to weigh in on today's happenings. Join us with your mind open for discussion on everything from the Constitution, raw society, law, interviews, and so much more. Powered by the law offices of Jason E. Taylor.
Hi, this is Jason Taylor. Welcome back. This is our Speaking Truth to Power. And, you know, you all have heard me, if you've listened or watched any of these, you know, I'm often talking about the Constitution and your rights and protecting those rights. And I was reading there's an organization, The Great Courses, and they are on all kinds of things. And they have one entitled Liberty on Trial in America, Cases that Defined Freedom. And it's done by a professor, Douglas O. Linder, I hope I pronounced his name correctly, out of the University of Missouri, Kansas City School of Law. And so I started reading this and then pulling up some information. And so I thought I would do an abbreviated version, which will give you a little history. I will kind of start with, you know, various cases, work our way forward to current times, and touch on little issues. And it'll be a little bit of a history lesson and hopefully entertaining at the same time. And so the first one here is the trial of Anne Hutchinson, 1637, Massachusetts Bay Colony, right? Long time ago, long before we were a country. And this is kind of an interesting case because it starts without the freedoms we have and kind of maybe plants the seed for free thinking and not everybody conforming and everybody being able to have religious freedom and speaking, maybe women's rights. There's all kinds of things that you can point to from this case. So Anne Hutchinson was a Puritan who came over from England to the Massachusetts Bay Colony. And John, I think Winthrop was the governor's original governor, one of them's names there. And, you know, when he came over, the idea that none of those folks liked the Church of England, and they thought they would be a beacon of new kind of world order, new religious order at the Massachusetts Bay Colony. And in fact, to be there, you had to agree with and think like they did with regards to religion. They kind of interviewed you, and if you didn't think the same way, you weren't allowed to stay there. You had to move on, go somewhere else. So Anne Hutchinson while she was in England, she was listening to a number of different preachers over there, and one of them she thought was particularly good, this Mr. Cotton, who ultimately moved to the United States, and then somebody else she listened to moved as well, and she said there was nobody worth listening to in England anymore, so her husband sold his business, and the two of them with their 10 kids moved to the United States, moved up there into the Massachusetts Bay area. And she's a very smart woman and very religious, as they all were then. And she listened to the various preachers, and Cotton was in the area. So she would listen to the different ones and listen to him. And she made a point of saying that the other ones weren't nearly as good as he was. The women at that time were not allowed to really participate in the church. But they could, you know, at home have their friends over and discuss it. And that's, in fact, what she did. She would have some of the ladies she was friends with, I suppose, or that she knew, and they'd have the sermon. And then they'd go back at some point that week and maybe discuss the sermon or other aspects of the biblical text. She was very popular. So people enjoyed coming. In fact, she ended up having to not just meet once a week. She had to have two meetings a week because people really liked it. And what she taught was a little different. It was a little bit like what Mr. Cotton was teaching, which was, you know, it wasn't the hard work and the necessarily, you know, your involvement in the church that was going to get you to heaven. It's whether you're a good person and whether God was going to get you there or not. And the other preachers really didn't like that too much because it might suggest a little bit of laziness. Maybe if it's not required, maybe you won't come to church, right? So by having this strict order and the way the other folks thought, kept people in check and following the rules and showing up and doing what they wanted, which might have not been quite the point of what Mr. Cotton was teaching or preaching and what Ms. Hutchinson spoke of. So she gets a following. Even guys are coming and listening to her, and they find her disruptive. Okay, the preachers and ministers found her to be impacting their control, and there became two sort of camps there in the Massachusetts Bay. There was the governor's camp, and I don't remember what his. I think I said it was. Yeah, John Winthrop, and there was kind of his camp, and there was Miss Hutchinson's camp, and Winthrop ended up getting control, and then they brought this trial of Miss Hutchinson for heresy, for the what she was teaching and what she was saying. And interestingly, at that time, the governor was both the lead prosecutor and also the judge, right? So you kind of know the deck is stacked. And they brought in all these ministers and preachers. I think this was on November 7th, 1637. Her trial started in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And they brought in all these preachers who said she said all these horrible things and did all these horrible things, and she brought in Mr. Cotton and a few others who said no, that's not in fact what she said, and it came down to she didn't say that these other ministers didn't teach the word of God or whatnot. She was basically saying she didn't think they did it as well as Mr. Cotton, and so there was an issue there and a couple of other issues, but the bottom line is. When it's about over and there's some thought that, and I've got the transcript and the language is, you know, at the time was incredible, but that she might have gotten out of the whole thing, right? She might have just been kind of reprimanded and let go, but then she kind of talks about how God spoke to her and she has been like, you know, divinely touched and she understands this stuff, and they're like, okay, never mind, we're getting her out of here. And they found her guilty and sent her packing. She had to leave the area. And so she and her husband left. And I will tell you the rest of the story there in a minute. But I marked in the transcript that I have. So somebody at that time was using, you know, the quill pen and taking notes. But what she says, they ask her, how do you know that it was the Spirit? And they're really talking about the Spirit of God. Miss Hutchinson says, how did Abraham know that it was God that bid him offer his son, being a breach of the sixth commandment? And the deputy governor, Dudley, says, by an immediate voice. And Miss Hutchinson says, so to me, by an immediate revelation. All right? And that was where all hell broke loose because, again, women weren't allowed to be involved in the church. And here this woman who is second-guessing preachers and ministers, more popular than most of them with her own teachings, so to speak, or interpretations, then goes on to say that God had a revelation with her was more than they could handle. And so after that, they did send her packing. A couple of interesting things here. So she leaves and her husband leaves and they end up elsewhere. They end up in Rhode Island, and then her husband passes away at some point, and then she ends up in New York, and there's some neighbors there who say, hey, be careful, Indians are coming. She thinks she's going to be all right. She and her kids get killed by the Indians in New York, right? So don't forget the timing. We're in the 1600s. So that was, you know, still a wild area, and I think it was right around the New York City area, but it was still a time when those things happened. But a couple of interesting firsts, which is really what this is about. There was one service that she was in, and she got so upset with the minister, the preacher, with what he was saying, and she got up and walked out, and a bunch of women followed her out. So it was maybe one of the first times, you know, there was a no, we're not listening, we're rolling kind of situation where a walkout, which is something. Also the fact that, you know, she was able to speak in her mind in that trial. She was questioned and she said her piece and she did it in front of everybody who was there. So it was, while she was found guilty, it was some level of liberation too, because she had an opinion, she was sharing it, people were listening, and it showed showed that, you know, the conformist view that everybody had to be the same was not going to work. It was not going to last. This area ended up having these two fractions in it, and while one ended up leaving, it set the stage maybe for various opinions later. So anyhow, I hope you enjoyed it. It was a long time ago. But a heck of a lady who stood up when she didn't have any rights, and in many ways put these guys in their place. So two thumbs up for Ann Hutchinson. I hope you learned a little something, and then we'll do another one of these here before long. Thanks. Bye bye.
Thank you for tuning in today as we are Speaking Truth to Power, where it's about the truth, not titles or party affiliation. Just the cold, hard facts. We invite you to email us topics you'd like to hear discussed. We welcome all feedback. Find us online through all social media platforms and at thelitigator.com. That's thelitigator.com. Until next time, take care and stay vertical, friends.